Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Indocon Industries Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company. As on the date of this call, these statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Jain, Executive Vice Chairman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning and a very warm welcome to all of you joining us for the Indocon Industries earnings call. I'm also joined by our Group CFO, Mr. Muralidharan, Manish Bhatia, CFO, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisor. We hope you had the chance to review the financial results and investor presentation available on the stock exchange and on our company website. To begin with, I'm delighted to share a moment of great pride and excitement for all of us at Indocon: the relaunch of the iconic Vamsutta brand in USA as a direct-to-consumer offering, which is exclusively now available at vamsutta.com. A 180-year-old heritage brand, Vamsutta has long been synonymous with premium quality bedding and bath products. Loved and endorsed by millions, it became a household name and a category leader over generations. Its relaunch marks a significant milestone in Indocon's strategy. The refreshed Vamsutta brand retains its timeless promise of comfort and quality while embracing a premium positioning tailored for today's discerning customer. By reintroducing it through the direct-to-consumer channel, we are proud to connect with a new generation, even as we honor its enduring legacy. We are confident that this strong comeback will pave the way for even greater strides for the brand. Vamsutta will go beyond bedding and will also cater to other soft home products such as towels, pillows, blankets, rugs, window treatments, etc. As we step into FY26, we have revisited our business categories and product offerings aimed at providing greater clarity to the investor community on how Indocon has evolved and continues to progress. To simplify our approach and enhance transparency, we have reclassified our portfolio into two key verticals, that is, core business and new businesses. This structured view enables us to clearly understand the progress of the strategic initiatives we are undertaking within each of the businesses and the direction in which we are moving. Core business is our bed linen segment, and this will include bed sheet business, that is, flat sheets, fitted sheets, pillowcases, fashion bedding, institutional bedding, and the Indian domestic business. This segment will also include its branded business across all the above categories, comprising both private label and Indocon's owned or licensed brand, however, excluding USA brands. New businesses will include both our utility bedding business and our USA brand business. Utility bedding business covers products such as pillows, mattress pads, down-alt comforters and quilts, pillow and mattress protectors. Owned and licensed brands such as Beautyrest, SleepRx, pillows falls under utility bedding business. USA brand business, a pure-play branded business encompassing any product category such as sheets, pillows, quilts, towels, window treatment, etc., sold under these brands would be Vamsutta, Fieldcrest, Waverly, and Gaia. This new representation will help you assess the direction of our efforts across the business. Just to reiterate on the branded business, all other brands, whether owned or licensed, excluding USA brands, will be classified under the bed linen segment. Utility bedding brands have been highlighted separately, while our domestic brands, Boutique Living and Layers, will continue to be part of the bed linen segment. Total branded business across all three categories contributed to approximately 20% of overall revenue in Q1 FY26, against 16% in FY25. On the financial performance of both the business verticals, our core business delivered a 16% CAGR over the last 2 years, that is FY23 to FY25, while our new business expanded nearly fourfold during the same period. Consequently, the revenue mix in the new business shifted from 2% in FY23 to 7% in FY25 and is currently stands at 13% in Q1 FY26. Moving on to the current business update. FY26 began with significant uncertainty. The overall demand sentiment showed signs of softness due to the US tariff situation, leading to demand cutbacks that impacted volumes and revenues during the beginning of the quarter. The fluid trade environment has prompted customers to prioritize inventory control and portfolio realignment, weighing on overall demand. Turning to our new business, the utility bedding and USA brand segment recorded higher revenue contributions this quarter. Revenue from these businesses rose to Rs. 130 crores in Q1 FY26 compared to Rs. 125 crores in Q4 25. These segments remain key future growth drivers. The utility bedding segment, with its manufacturing base in the United States, benefits from a unique market position and strong customer relationships. Moreover, brand-related demand in these categories is driven more by performance than price sensitivity. Currently in the utility bedding business, we are operating at approximately 50% capacity utilization. The past few days have been challenging, with the tariff situation remaining highly volatile. There has been continuous changes in the tariff situation since April. Initial tariff of 10% was increased to 25%, which has now been increased to 50% from end of August. Yet considerable uncertainty persists. We are in continuous dialogue with our customers as they revisit their sourcing plans. We hope the situation to stabilize soon. Our core bed linen segment continues to face headwinds, particularly from lower volume offtake and unfavorable product mix and pricing pressures stemming from the prevailing tariff environment. Our new business, while the pace remains gradual, continues to show positive trajectory and customer acceptance. While the near-term volatility may impact performance for a quarter or two, our commitment to achieving our 2X growth guidance remains unwavering. In the backdrop of such challenging times, we have done better with a year-on-year growth of 2% in revenue and approximately 372 basis points expansion on margin on quarter-on-quarter basis. The revenue growth was contributed by our new businesses, which continue to gain traction. The margin expansion on quarter-on-quarter basis was on account of stringent cost controls and other efficiency measures. However, margins remain below last year's levels due to the unfavorable product mix and the incubation costs related to the new businesses, costs that we have indicated will persist until the end of this year. In the near term, both margins and sale volumes are expected to remain under pressure until the US tariff environment stabilizes. Coming to other markets, the 50 countries and have been expanding our footprint through focused efforts in recent years. With government signing new FTAs, we expect our market share and contribution from ROW markets to grow in the near future. Several economies are emerging as promising destinations for Indian products, and in many FTA markets, we have already been seeding demand for some time, placing us in a strong position to capture upcoming opportunities. In certain geographies, we are already well established with customers, enabling faster scale-up. In summary, we are all well prepared to navigate the evolving global landscape and capitalize on emerging opportunities, with our growth strategy extending beyond product diversification to include geographic expansion. Notably, our non-US business now contributes approximately 30% of the core business, underscoring our sustained progress in broadening our market base. A significant development in this direction is India's recent signed FTA with the UK, aimed at accelerating economic collaboration between the two nations. The agreement is expected to boost trade volumes, facilitate greater market access, and strengthen investments. For the textile industry, it eliminates duties of 10 to 12% on Indian products, significantly enhancing our competitiveness in the UK market. This places India on the equal footing with countries such as Bangladesh and Pakistan, which have long enjoyed duty-free access. On the EU front, we are hearing encouraging developments and hope finalization of FTA between both sides gets concluded by end of this calendar year. We are hopeful on this FTA, which will now open new avenues for growth, creating significant opportunities for the Indian textile industry. Coming to India's home textile sector, a growth story. India's home textile market is poised for robust growth, fueled by rising domestic demand for bedding, bath, and other home products. Factors such as rapid urbanization and higher disposable incomes are expected to further boost consumption. While the growth influencing e-commerce platforms will expand the industry's reach. In line with this potential, we recently organized our largest ever retailer and distributors trade meet for our domestic brands, Boutique Living and Layers, to unveil the Autumn Winter 2025 collection under the theme, Feel the Future. This was our most extensive showcase to date, presenting an innovative and vibrant product range across our domestic brands. Boutique Living continues to gain strong traction in the mid to premium market. We have also made significant progress in category expansion, broadening our top of bed, bath, and gifting portfolios to tap into the emotional role of home textiles in weddings, celebrations, and everyday life. In terms of market reach, both brands have expanded their presence to over 2,000 MBOs pan-India. Their presence in large format stores is also rising, further strengthening our retail distribution network. It is heartening to note that feedback from the event was highly encouraging, reaffirming our confidence in the domestic market's potential. While domestic business currently contributes to approximately 2.25% of total revenue, we remain optimistic about strong growth in this segment as we continue to deepen our nationwide presence. Moving forward, I'd like to take a moment to highlight a new initiative undertaken by the company. Indocon Foundation, in collaboration with the Maharashtra government and Dr. PDKY College of Agriculture, Nagpur, established in 2022 a center of excellence to promote sustainable high-yield cotton cultivation. The outcome of this partnership has now led to the implementation of the high-density planting system, a technique designed to enhance cotton productivity. This initiative has received high-level recognition, including praise from Agricultural Minister Sri Shivraj Chauhan, who lauded HDPMS as a game-changing model for the Indian cotton farming. By 2025, its impact is already evident, with over 12,000 hectares in Akola district successfully adopting the HDPMS model. HDPS has proved to be a leap forward in sustainable cotton innovation, delivering remarkable improvements in both plant density and yield. Compared to the conventional method of 11,000 plants per acre, HDPS enables 29,500 plants per acre, nearly 3x the planting density. This increase translates directly into higher productivity, with yields rising from 450 kg per hectare under traditional methods to an impressive 1,250 kg per hectare using this method. A standout success story features a pioneering farmer who achieved 29,400 plants per acre, validating the system's potential and inspiring widespread adoption. This initiative not only boosts cotton output but also sets a new benchmark for sustainable agricultural practices in our country. To sum up, the current US tariff situation may have a temporary impact on demand. Having established a robust presence in the US market, our focus is now on moving higher up the value chain. This includes a commitment to premiumization, expanding our manufacturing footprint, and strengthening our team with experienced and dynamic talent. By leveraging these strategic initiatives, We aim to multiply revenue, enhance profitability, and write the next chapter of our success. This is from my side. Now I request Mr. Manish Bhatia, our CFO, to share financial highlights of the company.
Good morning, everyone. Volume. Sales volume for Q1 FY26 stood at 23.6 million meters versus 25.3 million meters in Q1 FY25, down by approximately 7% Y-on-Y. On quarterly basis, volume regrew by around 8%. Total income. Total income for Q1 FY26 stood at rupees 967 crores compared to rupees 950 crores in Q1 FY25, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 2%. On a sequential basis, as this was the first full quarter impacted by tariffs, revenue declined by 6%. Coming to EBITDA. EBITDA for Q1 FY26 stood at rupees 119 crores compared to rupees 154 crores in Q1 FY25, down 23% year-on-year. EBITDA margin was 12.26% versus 16.17% in the previous year. Around 200 basis points of the margin contraction can be attributed towards incubation costs of new businesses, which are expected to continue until the end of this year. This we have mentioned in the earlier calls also. The remaining decline was primarily due to an adverse product mix and lower volume. On a sequential basis, EBITDA increased by 35%, with margin expansion of 372 basis points to 12.26% from 8.55%. This was driven by internal cost efficiency measures undertaken. PAT for Q1 FY26 stood at rupees 38 crore compared to rupees 78 crore in Q1 FY25. The decline was driven by lower operating performance, along with higher depreciation from new facilities and increased finance costs arising from investments in newer businesses. As volumes in the core business scale up and the new businesses show more traction, we expect stronger EBITDA to PAT conversion over the next 2 years. On QoQ basis, PAT improved significantly as overall operating profitability improved, coupled with lower finance costs. EPS for Q1 FY26 is rupees 1.91. Debt. There has been approximately rupees 60 crores of debt reduction in this quarter. With this, we open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities. Please go ahead. Ms. Prerna, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand how are the U.S. retailers behaving in terms of order placements and negotiations with respect to 25% tariff or 50% tariffs?
Morning, Prerna. As far as right now as we speak, it's business as usual. You know, I think everybody is waiting and watching, but there's no change. I mean, whatever orders we have continue, we continue to ship, and against projections, we continue to get purchase orders.
Okay. There is no major change in the market share of the country or market share of Indocon that we should expect if these rates continue?
Not as of this morning.
Okay. Understood.
It's all very early days, you know, so we gotta keep that in mind.
Yeah, I understand. This is as of today because things keep changing every day in current scenario. I understand that. Also I wanted to understand, like tariff, the impact of tariff, how much have we shared during the quarter? Is there any impact of increased tariff of around 10%, like in imposition of tariffs in the quarter?
Sure. We have taken calls on a case-to-case basis. Due to business sensitivity, we would not like to get into further details.
On an average?
No, I mean, you can see that in our results. Yeah.
Okay, so the impact that would be there would be in gross margins largely.
Across the board, you know, it could come, you know, if it's FOB shipment, it would be in gross margin. If it's not, it could come, you know, below also.
Okay. Understood. Sir, you've taken cost control measures visible in other expenses. Could you please highlight few of them to understand whether these cost control measures are sustainable or only for few quarters?
So we were also benefited by lower raw material basket, plus there were some other savings like product-related, production-related, marketing expenditure-related. So these are like operating efficiency also, because these are certain bit of variable expenditures, depending on the volume.
Okay, understood. Understood. Sir, last question on non-US exposure. You mentioned that your non-US exposure is increasing. Where do you see this non-US exposure reaching in the next 3 to 5 years? Will that be a growth driver? And which geographies are you targeting for the same?
You know, as we have said in the past, you know, the geographies right now that are, I mean, we ship to over 50 countries. Countries like Australia, Japan, Middle East, U.K., EU is opening up as we speak. So these are all countries that we have a presence in, and the presence is growing year on year for us. Over the years, I mean, we expect our non-core business now contributes to, let's say, 30% of our overall product mix of our core business. You know, with the government signing new FTAs, we expect our share and contribution from these markets to grow, you know, in the near future. And we've seeded the, you know, the demand for some time now in several of these geographies, and we are well established. So I think it will only scale up from here.
Okay, understood, sir. Sir, last question. What will be our US exposure in FY25?
In 70, I mean, the breakup is roughly 70-30. 70% is US.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Demeter Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. So, I was more interested in the US brand business. So you mentioned that you want to sell towels, window trims, and a lot of other products that you don't currently manufacture, from what I understand. Is there a plan to get into all these product categories, or these will be all be outsourced?
You see, let's look at it from a different perspective, Ashwini. You know, today these are brands. You know, from a consumer standpoint, when the consumer is buying the brand, they want to get a complete holistic soft home experience, you know. So our design teams, our product development teams, you know, design the whole range of the product across all soft home categories, right from a pillow to a mattress pad to a fashion bedding to a bed sheet to a towel to a window treatment, and then we present the collection to the customer. So we already started selling since last year. All these product categories is already, we're already selling under our brands. They're already placed with retailers, and so we're going to grow into these categories. We have no plans to produce these as we speak. You know, so we have vendor partners who we've tied up with and who bring their best to us. But these are all products that are designed by our design teams and then brought to customers and then in turn sourced globally.
Okay. And the Vamsutta range of bed linen, you would manufacture in-house? Or would that be sourced from vendors?
At this point of time, that is all manufactured at in our own facility.
Okay. And coming to the margin profile of the US brands business over a longer period of time, I mean, as you grow this portfolio, what do you think is the margin profile that's achievable in this piece of the business?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a company, we are striving to be between 16% to 18%, and this particular segment should give us a higher margin than our core business. You know, but it's yet early days for us. You know, we are dealing with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things coming our way. So I think we just need to digest what we have, build the business, be relevant to the customer, and I think everything else will fall in place.
Right. And so my last question is the potential for the Indian brands business, which is, say, 2.25% of your revenue as of now. I mean, to my mind, it has a huge potential, but obviously there must be some reasons why it hasn't grown. How do you see this business? And I note that you've held your first ever trade convention, the largest one, a couple of days ago. How do you see this business evolving?
You know, India has humongous potential, but, you know, one has to take one step at a time. You know, here we are selling, we're not trying to sell any of our export surplus. These are products that are made for the domestic market, designed for the domestic market. We have huge collections. We have a reach now. You know, so it's one step at a time. We have a team of over 100 people in the system for this department. So I think it's only going to be upwards. And it wasn't our first show, it was the largest that we had. We continue having these, but this was the largest attended that we had. And we had it at the Grand Hyatt in Mumbai, you know. So we are notching it up slowly, slowly and steadily. You know, we are not, we're going to take it at one step at a time so that it's sustainable, you know, and profitable.
And this is there's no B2C, D2C segment here. This is all via MBOs.
It's MBOs. It is like stores, you can say large format stores, you know. So mostly right. B2B. We have our products on our website, you know, which is boutiquelivingindia.com and Layers, which we launched, in fact, in this quarter, you know. But predominantly the distribution is B2B, you can say, you know. And then, of course, we are available on the marketplaces also,
okay.
Online.
And your CapEx peaks this year. From here on, it should kind of roll down over the next 2 years. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, whatever we've, you know, showcased so far, is there's nothing else on the table. But, you know, we keep getting opportunities which will get evaluated as and when they come. But as we speak, it is what we have right now. You know, and then normally we have 50 to 75 crore of regular capex every year in our facilities, which is historically the case, and even this year. I think we've shown 65 crores for this year.
Yes, that's regular maintenance capex.
Yes,
I get that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Nayak from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for giving the opportunity and a great set of numbers in challenging environment. So my question is that considering the current difficult situation on the tariff front, so do we think that your understanding of the U.S. customers, you know, the premium appetite of the customers. So do you think we will be able to sustain for FY26? And at least now we may see some kind of volume degrowth, I understand. But still, we'll be able to manage to get at least now maybe 5 to 6% kind of degrowth with the realization intact.
Surya, I wish I was a magician, you know, or a jyotsi, I don't know what you, but right now, you know, we are just taking it, each day as it comes, and we are not pessimistic, we are yet optimistic, you know, so our objective, like I said in the last call also, is to maintain our market share and grow it, you know, and that's what we are striving to do.
Okay, and what is the plan for FY26 so far as U.S.? Operations are concerned, like Fusitex, Modern and brand, or the brands, and apart from the greenfield. So, what are the kind of revenues you are expecting in the U.S. operations alone, which is not affected, which will mean not be affected by the tariffs?
So, I think you're referring to our manufacturing business, which now by September end we'll have the third plant also in Kernersville, North Carolina, operational, and that's our flagship and will be our largest location. So, I'm happy to share that, you know, we are already at a 50% utilization. We just got into this business less than 12 months ago. And over a period of 3 years starting this financial year, we are quite optimistic of achieving 175 million in revenue, you know, so in this category of business of utility bedding, which is being manufactured in the United States.
Last year we did in total maybe 175 crores, if I'm right. So this year you are saying, you know, around what is the kind of revenue? It is 1500 crores.
No, no. What I'm saying is that over a three-year period, we'll do 175 million in revenue in this category. It's very difficult to say how much will we do this year, how much will we do next year, you know. But it's on a growth. It's on a growth mode.
Because you know that because the tariff will not be there for those kind of goods, so obviously the appetite would be intact, and obviously so I mean, the steady state basis, you could be drawing some kind of projections for at least FY26. So what kind of figures you are actually pointing out?
So I would not be able to comment on an exact number, but please keep in mind that these are goods that are manufactured in the US. These are utility bedding products that we are manufacturing, which is predominantly different types of pillows and quilts. This is our manufacturing capability. This is a new product category per se for Indocount. Basically, these are white goods. Of course, their raw material does get imported. The advantage we have is that we are not bound to any one country. We can, I mean, the team can source globally. So that's the advantage that we have. Of course, whenever you're buying from one country and you need to move supply chain to another country, it takes time, you know. But other than that, the raw material prices would go up, which we'll pass on to the customer and move forward, you know.
And considering your deep understanding of the U.S. market, the customers' profile, so do you think that now, due to the tariff issues, the U.S. customers will settle to lower or economical kind of products rather than they will stick to the premium kind of products? I mean, that is the usual case for the U.S. market. So what is your understanding since February this year? So are you seeing the U.S. customers sticking to the kind of, I mean, appetite they are having towards the premium goods that
sure.
is intact?
You know, these are all very early days. You know, there's too many things up in the air as we speak. You know, things have just started moving between March and now. By end of this year, all of this should settle down. Having said that, of course, we have seen a little bit of down trading happen, you know, in the product portfolio. That people do not want to invest too much in luxury goods, so that because the tariff impact is higher. I think this is, it's not about our product category A. It's, I think, the retailers are assessing as we speak, you know, what is the customer appetite, you know, to pay higher prices, what's the elasticity. So I think all of this will get played out as we speak, you know. There's nobody has, including the retailer, an answer today that what's the right formula, you know. So it's all trial and error that they're doing at their end. They're trying prices out. People have increased retail prices. So it's all being tested out, you know, as we speak. So it's a dynamic situation.
Okay. And the budget for this year, 214 crores, will be intact, and we will definitely be maintaining that, apart from the maintenance capex of 65 crores.
Sorry,
I mean the North Carolina and the JLT that is budgeted for this year, that will be going through irrespective of the market situations.
Yeah, more. I mean, as you can see, and we've showed in our Q1, we've already spent 72 crores, approximately 70 odd, you know, out of the 200 odd that we've said. It's only the Bhilad effluent treatment plant that hasn't started yet, you know. So there could be some spillover into next year, but these are long term projects that will go through, you know.
So JLT will be taken up this year or next year?
Should be taken up towards the end of this year. We'll start at the end of the project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jayesh Shah from OHM Portfolio Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is, as per the media articles, we believe that this is the time when the busy season orders are issued out in the U.S. And which India may be losing out to the other competing countries. So how are these discussions and negotiations going on? Is it that you are able to maintain those orders, say, at a certain discount? And secondly, if you have to replace your US business, to what extent can you sell in discounts, say, in Australia, Japan, to make up for the loss of these orders?
We are not looking, Jayesh, to replace the US with Australia by selling at a discount. That's not a viable business situation, you know, because we'll be spoiling those markets, you know, and forever, you know, and that's not a sustainable business model either. To your first question, you know, we are mostly in the replenishment business. So what happens in our case, we get projections from our customers, which is like a 12-month rolling projection, and then we get purchase orders 45 days or before shipment. So that business continues as is. So it's not really a season, you know, we are not in the fast fashion business where you're working from one season to another season. So these are backwall programs. It's in the stores, selling continuously.
I see. So hypothetically, you know, if this 50% tariff continues beyond, say, August, is there any way that you would be able to sell in the U.S. or that option is out? Because, you know, it's too huge a burden for any textile manufacturer.
So the delta is, you know, between, you can, if the whole world average is between 20 to 30% right now.
Right.
You know, so you take a mean of 25. So at 25, and then you have 50, so 50 minus 25, you have a delta of 25. You know, there would be some business loss. To what extent, you know, it's very difficult to predict.
Okay, okay. That burden then would be shared across the entire supply chain and whatever.
Yes, yes. You know, and then okay. We'll have
to but then your decision. U.S. business would continue at whatever. So, in a way, to read from an investor point of view, maybe there is a hit on the EBITDA margin, which you have to make up from cutting the other expenses, probably on marketing or whatever. But overall sales revenue, there may not be a huge drop.
I think it all depends on how each customer behaves. You know, it's, again, very difficult to predict. You know, if India's delta in a product like textiles or other products that we're exporting, white only textiles, is a 25% additional delta, you know, India will stand to lose at that standpoint. You know, I cannot imagine. And if, as long as the two governments are talking and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, then the every large retailer, you know, who's strategic in nature will, and we'll all figure out ways to keep our businesses going. But if this is engraved in stone and the relationships, you know, if there's no light at the end of the tunnel, then some businesses, you know, are going to move to other countries. You know, there's nothing we can do about that.
You know. Right, right, right. Thank you and best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sir, during the quarter, I have noticed that your new business, which is primarily manufacturing in USA, has ramped up pretty quickly and steadily. I just want to understand, is this what the margin of in the current quarter with respect to this business?
You know, as we mentioned, that on an overall basis right now, we yet have 150 to 200 basis point hit on our EBITDA margin, which will continue till the end of the year. Once this stabilizes, then these businesses, I mean, in the short term, should do the same level of margin as our parent business. You know, so overall, you know, as I said, our target is to be between 16 to 18%, you know, okay, once things in the world normalize.
Mm-hmm. No, I just want to understand, is this business EBITDA break-even or it's still your plan, will be break-even by the end of the year as the capacity ramps up?
Yes, even today it is EBITDA positive, you know.
Okay.
I mean, it depends how you look at it, you know. I mean, not, I wouldn't say it's EBITDA positive, but we are recovering all our costs. I mean, there are a lot of fixed costs right now in that business. That's why it's the 152 basis points EBITDA hit at the end of the day, right?
Okay.
So we've already put the team in place, we put the talent, we have the facilities, we have the infrastructure. So there's a cost associated, marketing, there's cost associated to all of that, which we are pretty confident that by the end of the year, that will all get absorbed, you know.
And so currently, with respect to this business itself, there are two plants, one on Arizona, one in Ohio. Can you give any capacity utilization?
Yes, as I said, it's at 50%.
Okay. And sir, by the end of this year, how much, what percentage of revenue are you expecting from this new business?
As I mentioned, you know, we are expecting 175 million from our utility bedding business, and we are pretty confident that over a 3-year period, we'll be able to achieve this.
I just want to understand. So with respect to during this quarter, the new business contribution to your overall revenue was 13%. So can we expect this same percentage for the remaining period as a?
Yeah, around these levels, yes. I mean.
And from FY25, can we expect the margins to be stabilized? Like around 15%?
Correct. That's what is, I mean, the hit on the margin, which we, I mean, like any business, you know, I mean, we are seeding the business as we speak, so that will go away, you know. It should be able to stand up on its own.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vikram Suryanshi from PhillipCapital India. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Just wanted to check the for our US operation, you highlighted that there would be imported raw material at slightly higher in duties now. So to compensate that, have we taken any price hike for the our US operation, the products which we are making there?
Absolutely, on a case-to-case basis, that gets adjusted with the retailer, you know, they all understand. If this is the new world normal, then it's normal for everybody, right? All our competitors, everybody's in the same boat. You know, there could be a 1 month lag here or there, or a 1 or 2 months, but otherwise it doesn't matter. I mean, it's able to get passed on, or the product gets re-engineered, you know, by keeping the customer, you know, in conversation.
Got it. And second, I really want to acknowledge for your efforts about improving the cotton yield. That has been a really serious issue for the India. Just on clarity on this 3x plantation increase, is it basically on irrigated land, or it can be also implemented with the rainfed areas also?
We'll have to check and get back to you. So, you know, I don't want to give you the wrong answer. You know, this is an initiative that our foundation took, you know, 3 years ago, and, you know, people saw it and, you know, took it up, and, you know, they started getting the benefit, you know. But I don't have the exact answer. We can get back to you on that.
Sure, sir. And thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shubhankar Oja from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, the new acquisition, the plant in US, will it save the tariffs for us? Sorry if I'm asking repeating question, because I've joined a little bit later in the call.
Yeah, Shubhankar, no, I'll explain. So these are three manufacturing locations which will manufacture pillows as well as quilts in the United States. One plant is in Ohio, one is in Arizona in a city called Phoenix, and the third one is in North Carolina in a town called Kernersville. The raw material for these are imported. The raw material is not produced in the United States. So most of it gets imported from different countries. It could be China, Pakistan, India. I mean, we can source from any country, depending on the viability of that country and the product that they make and the specialty of the product and the technology that we're offering to the customer.
Okay. My next question is about the UK. How much benefit do we get from this?
You know, on our product category, the duty is 12% as we speak. Now, once the UK Parliament passes it, we've already started active conversations with customers. Strategic conversations is what should be there, but 12% is what was India's delta. Now, when this gets goes away, then of course India becomes very competitive as a country, and some part of it would, the benefit should come to us as an organization, and some part of the benefit will go to the customer, and then the market share of India will improve within the UK.
Okay. My last question is, can you give me the breakup of revenue between US, UK and India, the rest of the world?
Sure. So, of our core business, the US is around 70% in revenue, 30% is other countries, and out of the 30, out of the 100, UK is around 10%.
Yeah.
So 70 US, 10 UK, and 20 is the rest of the world, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'll get back to the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Shankar from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, so I see there is a year-on-year decline in volumes and there is a slight growth. Like, there is a in, you know, improvement. So, considering that there was an unfavorable product mix, actually come from?
Can you ask your question? Can you come around? Your voice is cracking, Abhishek.
Sir, Abhishek got disconnected. Maybe move to the next question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. This is Kaustubh here, Abhishek's colleague. So what Abhishek was trying to ask is, if we do a simple match, dividing our revenues divided by volumes, we see that there is a realization growth on YY basis, despite the fact that mix was unfavorable. So we just want to understand why, you know, the realization growth was there in this quarter.
So you cannot compare Q1 of last year with Q1 of this year, because Q1 of last year doesn't include the acquisition business which we have in US. So that's why you will see some anomaly in that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You need to minus the 130 more or less. I mean, you need to minus the utility and the brand. More or less, you'll get the rough number, which is similar to Q4.
Okay. And is it possible to give what were the volumes for the new business? Like 135 crores for the new business?
So that business is not, it's not derived by volumes. We don't look at it in terms of meterage or anything of that sort.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Jain, Executive Vice Chairman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
In conclusion, while macroeconomic uncertainty remains, the bold transformation and vision of IndoCounts 2.0 strategy of rewriting the future, the progress is visible. We have launched several forward-looking initiatives to enhance our capabilities, explore new frontiers, and create long-term value. A key focus has been our entry into value-added segments such as utility bedding and branded businesses in USA. Areas that align with changing market needs and consumer preferences. This transformation reflects our ambition to become a more agile, customer-centric, and future-ready organization, and a complete solution provider for home textiles. Furthermore, our strengthening presence in the domestic market presents a valuable opportunity to further grow our business. Thank you for your ongoing support as we move forward on this exciting path of expansion. I hope we've been able to answer all your queries. In case you have more queries or require any clarification, please feel free to connect with us or SGA, our investor relation advisor. Thank you for joining the call.
Thank you. On behalf of IndoCount Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.